check, is this thing really on? We are here, back in the building. And Janine is not sneezing.
I'm not. I'm like energized. I just had the acai bowl.
You tapping though. You tapping on that.
Oh, this is weave. It's bad as I don't know what, but it looks so good.
Yeah. It does. It does. You did look really, really nice for your birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoyed Hampton and everything. And
oh my God, I had the time of my life. Like I tell everyone, I have not had that much fun in such a long time. I was so lit.
I'm sorry I missed it. I was like, my friend's life, you know, we'll probably go next year. We were reminiscing about like 2009 when we went and it was just like off the freaking chain.
It was so good. It's like people don't understand if you didn't go to HBCU, but you really don't understand if you didn't go to Hampton. Like everyone is just family. And when you come back, it's like, wow, I haven't seen these people in 10, 12, 15 years. And it's like doing it all over again. You're home by the sea.
Yeah, I love Hampton. Love me some Hampton. So I was looking online and in looking at some television clips, right? And you're familiar with Candy from
Real Candy Housewives Burst?
Yes. Candy Burst. Mm-hmm. And her mom.
Mama Joyce.
Yes. Then you have Rashida, mm-hmm, and her mom.
Love and Hip Hop, okay.
Yes. And then you have Black China and her mom.
Tokyo Tony. Yeah. Is that her name? Tokyo Tony.
And, you know, they have been having a lot of domestic issues. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy to me how much they're involved with their relationships.
How much their mothers are involved. Okay.
And I just got me to thinking, like, how much do you share with your family and friends when it comes to your relationships?
I think that it really depends on the level of severity of the relationship, of seriousness. You know, when I first started dating, I would tell my mother pretty much everything about my relationships. Correction. In high school, I didn't tell her anything. You know, that was their whole tween, always got an attitude phase. But towards college and even after college, I shared a lot more with her because we were super close. And I would tell her everything. She would give me advice and it would work. You know, it was very helpful. And it taught me how to handle relationships with men. But then I feel like it was okay because those relationships came and went. They weren't long-term relationships. So once it was over, me and the guy was over and it was over for her. But when I got married, I think I kind of had to learn the hard way because in the beginning, I would tell her a lot of things. And I started realizing that that probably wasn't the best idea because the argument could be dead and gone. And this could be a year later. And my mother would say something like, hey, remember that time X, Y, and Z happened? And I'm like, no. When did that happen, you know? And I just started realizing that she was hanging on to the situations way longer than I was. And I started really seeing a discontent becoming between how she felt about him. And so eventually I started to scale back on what I would tell her. But that did kind of create an issue because then my mother started thinking, you don't tell me anything anymore. And I had to explain it to her. You know, but then there's my girlfriends where I do tell them a little bit more, but even with them, you kind of have to limit how much you share. Mm-hmm. It becomes pretty messy and sometimes pretty ugly when you share the ins and outs of your relationship and nobody knows your spouse like you know your spouse. So when you're telling them these things, it seems a lot more severe to them than it actually does to you. But I'm not saying you should X out your friends and your parents because no one wants to be isolated and have no one to talk to. You just have to be very particular about what it is that you share.
Yeah, I just feel like it's such a gray area because when the shit hits the fan and you are having some serious dramas or whatever, who are the first people you're going to run to, right? It's going to be your family and it's going to be your friends. And then you cannot not share with them what's going on if you need to stay at their house or borrow some money or whatever it is. Like, you have to let them into your personal business.
I found that you have to really know the person that you're talking to. Mothers, yes, you know them, but they're really not the best person to share with. But everyone should have at least one good girlfriend that you know is that non-judgmental, I'm here, I'm your ride or die. I have, like we talked about before, several different subsets of girlfriends, but I have one that I share everything with, and we go through similar things. So when she tells me something, I'm not judging, but I am always here with that "ooh, girl" type of response, you know. Well, bitch, we're not gonna let that fly. But when she decides to go back to him, or when the argument's over, I don't feel any type of way, you know. But everybody doesn't have that friend, and you have to know who that friend is. You can't share with everyone. Example, if you're married and you're sharing all of your business with your single friends, their advice is just going to be totally different. How can they give you advice on a relationship when they've never had one that's as serious as yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just different.
Like, I remember a friend of mine saying that he was having an argument with his wife, and his mom was there, and his mom was just like, "Listen, you better go make up with your wife, because I'm always going to be here. She may not always be here."
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what his mom said to him. Like,
that's a good mother.
Yeah.
All mothers aren't like that.
Yes. All mothers are not like that.
They're,
you know,
not.
Especially with their sons. I completely understand that. But it does become a grayer, because, you know, when I look at these reality shows and the moms are cussing out and like, you ain't shit and this is that and the other,
yeah,
and going off on the spouse, like, where do you step in and check your mom?
You know, I think that that's ridiculous, and it puts you in a very awkward position. Like, who wants to check their mom? That's why you shouldn't share it. I remember before we got married, we did premarital counseling. And one of the things that they said to us was, you leave and you cleave. You know, you've left your home. You've left your mother and father. This is your new family. Not to say that that's not still your family, but this is now your primary household, your family. And they come first, and you don't share your business with them. Another thing they always said was, you never talk badly about your spouse, and you don't let anyone else talk badly about your spouse. I think that that's a very hard thing to do, because there are times in every marriage where you want to kill your husband, but you can't always share that with other people. But I do think it's important to be able to say it to someone. Like, don't keep it all bottled in, but you can't. Like, I find that if I share something with a girlfriend and she comes back to me and is like, "Yeah, because you know your husband, he's da 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 da," then I'm offended. Like, whoa, I can say that about my husband, but you can't. But how can you expect them not to say that after you've invited them into all of your personal business, mm-hmm, right? But here's the other side to it. The other reason why you shouldn't say a bunch of negative things, or just tell all your business in general, is because it's your private business, and you're sharing something about your spouse that was intimate between you two. Intimate things come out in arguments. You may say something off the top of your head that you really didn't mean and was irrational and just emotional. But does someone else deserve to know that that's the way you acted in your argument? That takes away from the intimacy and the vulnerability of a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a, you know, I'm a private person, you know, and I don't let too many people close, because I know that when I do let people close, I am an open book to a certain extent. You know what I mean? If I mm-hmm. trust you, I don't really share like all my relationship stuff, you know, unless it's something where, you know, it's dire and I need some type of advice. I probably speak to like one person. And my mom, she's a very emotional person. Mm. So she takes on every breakup, everything, you know. It's just like, I told you, you know, that's just her personality, because she's going to be ride or die Sanjay, like her daughters, you know what I mean? All the time. So she takes it very personal if there's anything going on. So it's really hard to like share with her anything, because she's just going to be like, you know what I mean? It's the purse lips, like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing so hard over here, because I'm thinking about a time where I was dating this guy, and it was long distance. And we got into some type of argument, and he said to me, "You know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done." And you know, when it's a relationship and you break up, it usually takes a little bit of time before you really break up. Well, since he was long distance, this Negro just cut me off completely. Like, just stopped answering the phone. Like, there was zero contact. And that's difficult when you just had a whole relationship with someone. So he had done this in a previous relationship, and I knew because he told me, and I shared it with my mother. So when it happened with me, I'm crying in her kitchen, and we're talking about it, and she says, Janine, what does he do? He just goes around breaking girls' hearts all over. Is this what his thing is? Give me your phone. Let me call him. Mom.
You are not calling.
Mom. You are not calling this man. And it was.
Let me find out she's about to be Mama Joyce.
Yeah, it was that moment and many others that I realized, no, mommy, we can't talk about everything. And I know her little feelings are hurt sometimes because she'll be like, Janine, you're down today. What's wrong? And I'm like, I'm fine, Mom. She knows I'm not fine, but we're not about to get into the situation. No. Because next thing you know, she in my kitchen and having a whole conversation with my husband. No. No.
I mean, because I've seen parents like have a whole conversation with the spouse. You know, like if there's an issue, the parent will call the spouse up and be like, "What's going on?" and have that conversation. And mm-hmm. I feel like that may be inappropriate.
It's very inappropriate. I think it's very, very inappropriate unless you ask. If you, and let me correct some of the things I said. My mother was that way. I've now been married for 5 years. We've been together for 8. I say that all the time, but I say that so often because you learn a lot in 8 years. And now that we're so far in, my mother pretty much does stay out of it unless we ask her. And it's rare that we go to her and ask her. But if she's asked, then she'll comment. And my mother-in-law is the same way. She doesn't jump in. If we call her and say, hey, Mom, we need advice on something, then she'll give it. But Mama Joyce is ridiculous. I mean...
You know,
like, I don't know if you watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, mm-hmm. but I mean, she'll even get into it with Phaedra. Like, you mad at Phaedra, you mad at Todd, you mad at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, these are not your relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But even, I said, with Kirk and Rashida, her mom, when she was cussing him out, and you know, because mm-hmm. he wasn't coming home, and they had the girl pregnant and all kinds of craziness, like she was doing more fussing and hollering than Rashida was.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was like the pit bull, you know. It's like she was trying, she was, because Rashida was probably so hurt, you know, she was the one who was voicing the hurt for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how can you be kind of mad at that, because that's your mom, that's your ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, you know, like, because he's in the wrong.
You know where I have a hard time with this? Because like I said, I really don't believe in oversharing. But I don't like people that don't share at all. It drives me crazy. Like, I know one particular girlfriend. And if you talk to her about her marriage, she ain't telling you nothing. And that's her right, right? Mm-hmm. But I get so angry. And it'll be like, girl, we don't go do that. No, never. And I know daggone well you've been through something. So it's like when I come to you and I'm trying to relate or I'm trying to feel some type of empathy and you giving me the cold shoulder, that's your right. And it probably is best that you don't share with me, but then I'm offended. I got a lot of nerve, right?
Yes, you do. So what about the case where I know a friend of mine, he's a mama's boy and he shares everything with his mother. Like every Mm-mm. single time there's an issue with the wife, he is telling mama.
That's strange.
He is telling mama, like, you know, she did this, this is that, whatever it is, she's having the conversation about you know what's going on within their marriage, because like that's kind of his.
That makes me very uncomfortable, like very, very uncomfortable. I'm not in that predicament. Like, my husband doesn't tell his mother much of anything, and I don't know how react if he did. I know I would be extremely uncomfortable. I know I would, but I just think it's inappropriate. You're not married to your mother. You were supposed to leave that a long time ago. Why are you sharing with her like any of that? Like, are you sharing your sex life with your mother too? Do you tell her that?
I mean, I said it's very interesting, because I said if they have any major issues, he'll tell his mom, and his mom is very opinionated, and she may say something. I think, like, you know, throughout the years, they've been married for a pretty long time. You know, the family has had some run-ins, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, mother and sister and everybody against the wife, because they already know what he kind of shared with them, and then there's drama, you know. So the family is close, but the you know, sister-in-law, sister stuff is not as close because of things that have happened throughout the years, the drama. I mean, ensued by him because he wasn't as upstanding. He did his trifling stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, and of course, it's kind of like they don't hold him really accountable for his actions. It's just when she reacts in a crazy way, it's like she's the crazy chick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like your son has done some heinous things. Of course she's going to react that way.
It really messes up the trust and the vulnerability in a marriage. Because like I said, you'd handle things in the heat of a moment differently than you would if you were calm and thinking rationally. And everyone doesn't get to be exposed to that side of you. So your spouse knows you, the good, bad, and the ugly. Why is he sharing that, or she sharing that, with other people? That's just not the way it's supposed to be. And that takes away your right to be you in the midst of your relationship. I just don't think that it's okay. I really don't. And if we were going to take it back to Housewives of Atlanta, Candy hated it. It made her so uncomfortable that her mother was overly involved in all of her relationships.
Yeah, but I mean, Candy was to blame for that too. You know, like I felt like, you know, she would pick and choose when she wanted her to be involved, right? She would be upset, but it's just like, you have to check your parent. You know, that's your responsibility to check your parent on your relationship. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, I've had conversations with my mom when she's tried to come at, you know, any of my ex-boyfriends, and I've been like, so wait a minute, you know, you were married for 16 years and you A, B, and C, and D, like, who are you to judge, or, you know?
This is so funny to me because I'm just thinking about the dynamic of friendships and relationships, period, that I have, and the things that I know about some of my friends' spouses. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I probably really shouldn't know that. Like, I shouldn't know that your boyfriend has a small dick. I just shouldn't know that.
That is sharing too much. See, like, that's, I do not believe in that. I do not believe in sharing my sexual experiences, like, with my girlfriends. You know what I mean? Really? Like, if it's like my, I'm not going to say, oh, he has a big one, or he knows how to do this really well. I'm not sharing that stuff. Why would I be sharing what my man does well with you? Like, you don't know. I don't know what's going. I do not know what's going. And see, my philosophy on stuff, reason why I don't share as much, is that I always feel like when you're telling someone, they're telling someone, you know? So when you share, I always look at the circle of friends. Right? So always look at the circle of friends and the relationships and the connections. Mm-hmm. So if I tell you something may come out, to, you know, that you're talking casually with your friends about, oh, yes, Sanjay does something, you know, and that's not necessarily what I want to be shared with that circle of friends.
I absolutely agree. I don't share my sexual experiences either. Like, that's just, we just don't talk about it. If we're going through a dry spell or something, I'm like, guys, I haven't gotten any in a while.
Like, yeah, I mean, something different. Like that. But I'm talking about people. No, people. Mm-mm. I know I've had girlfriends who share everything. Like, oh, yeah, that he grabbed me like this, and we did it, and this is it, and his penis. Like, and I mean, we'll share every bit of detail. I mean, there's things
I don't want to hear all of that.
Every bit of detail, like, because they're just expressive people in that way. Mm-hmm. They'll just sharing every bit of detail about their sexual experience. That's so funny. Danye's taping and you're like rushing to put on your hat.
I was scratching and like massaging my scalp.
Yeah. So I said and girls do that. Some girls would do that, and even how uncomfortable is that if your guy is sharing your stuff with his friends?
And you know what? Guys are pretty like creepy because they share a lot in group chat or with each other. And they're
about their girl though?
I don't think that, here's the problem. They don't necessarily share it about their girl. They share it about whoever it is that's.
But they don't know if it's going to be their girl.
But you don't know if it's going to be your girl. So you didn't see a video of so-and-so doing X, Y, and Z because you thought she was just your girl for the night, and now you done married her.
Yep.
Now your friends forever know.
Yep.
What it looked like.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. That has happened probably more than a few times where you sitting there talking about the chick, not thinking that's going to be, I mean, I have, I've had male friends be like, man, she a whore. And going in about whatever their girlfriend may have done to them. Mm-hmm. And they're so upset. And I've never messed with her again. I remember there's this guy I used to date. And he used to have this on and off relationship with this girl, right? So, you know, he and I were just friends after a while. And he had just stopped dating the girl. And he, you know, it was like right before I moved here to Baltimore. And he was like, I will never get where she is. This, she is that. You know, he was just talking about his ex-girlfriend like she was the worst thing because she may have, I think, slept with one of his friends, some guy she knew or whatever. And I was like, you're going to get back with that girl, right? And he was just like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, yeah. You're going to get back with that girl. I said, you want to bet? You want to bet? And he was just like, we can bet. We can bet. We can bet. Fast forward, 8 years later, I run into him, married and two kids with the chick.
Oh.
And he was like, I owe you some money, right? I said, yes, you do. Because I knew you wasn't going to, you too passionate. You too passionate. Like, she whore. She this. You going to marry.
Yeah.
She got you. Oh. She has you. You've been doing this for too long with her. So, you know, moving on to another topic, I guess we've decided that, you know, I guess it depends on what you want to do with your relationship and how valuable you feel that information is. You know, some people can separate it, some people cannot, right?
I'm telling you, it can ruin some relationships. Don't share too much.
So, and that's kind of sometimes the golden rule. You know, you hear it all the time. Don't share too much. Don't share too much. But then some families are just really, really close. And they're going to be ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows everybody's business. And mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, some people have really big families and everything is on the table. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that sometimes walking into that relationship. Mm-hmm. Because you may not be that type of person, but they may have that type of family where everything is on the table. But since we are in October
and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month,
and you're wearing your pink TP hat,
I am
representing breast cancer. I mean, we featured a beautiful friend of mine, Shandia from boldandbreastless.com. I met her at a women who hustle. Nicole, who's a PR, a publicist in DC, had Shandia and honored her. And she was one of the most dynamic women that I met. She told me her testimony. Even when I had a friend that was diagnosed with breast cancer, I spoke to her because her and her mom were having a hard time really putting their head around it and grasping it. And I had called Shandia to come and meet with my friend and talk to her and give her some advice. Because I just felt like sometimes when you are diagnosed with breast cancer, you kind of feel like you're on this island by yourself because you're going through all of these emotions. And I was like, you know, you need to talk to people who have, you know, are survivors, and talk to them and see how they cope with it. Mm-hmm. You know, all the emotions, because you go through I've seen people go through being angry, being sad, being depressed, then being overindulgent because they just feel like their mortality is being tested. So then they just go anti, like they're like, F cancer, I'm going to drink and smoke and do, have, like, they just go to the extreme because they're so angry that they just feel like, I'm just going to live life to the fullest, doing all the worst things that helps, does not help their disease. So I've seen the different stages that some of my friends have gone through, and it's just really, I just feel like we have to get tested, you know, because people are getting diagnosed like just so early in age. Like I know two friends, like before they were even 36, that were diagnosed with breast cancer.
You know, if you get a chance, go on tpthemeg.com and read the interview that we did with Shandia. And one of the very first questions we asked her was, how old were you when you got diagnosed? And like, what's your story? And she said that she was 36 and she just had like just a thought, was like, you know, I should just go get a mammogram. I really should just get one. You know, you're not required to get one until
you're 40. Yep.
And she said it was just like God told her to get it. She said it was no different than if you're driving home, you think, oh, I need to stop and get some eggs. And she said she knew that it was God. And the reason that she knew that it was God was because when she went and got the mammogram, it came back that she did, in fact, have breast cancer, but it wasn't even detectable. Like, she had no lumps. She had no signs.
No symptoms.
No symptoms of any of it. So she would have never known. And she just went and got a mammogram, and there it was. She had it. And she was 36 years old.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
One of my closest friends was diagnosed, and, you know, she was a champ. You know, at 36, she found out, 35, 36, she found out that she had stage 2 breast cancer. And she, you know, handled like a champ. She got the double mastectomy. She was like, you know, I'm a survivor. She was great. She looked wonderful. And then just recently, you know, it came back and metastasized in another part of her body. And it was devastating because it went from stage, she was at stage 0. Sorry, she was at stage 0. My other girlfriend's at stage 2. She is at stage 0. And the doctor said that she was cancer free. And fast forward 2 years later, she's stage 4. And it was such devastating news to us, all her friends and all her circles, because she's such a fighter, you mm-hmm. know? And she's such a, she's, you know, if anything with her, she's just a very strong, she's so tiny, but she's so strong, you know? And you know, she has such a huge network of people that love and support her. And, you know, it's a stage 4, you could live with that forever. And medicine has changed, you know, so much. And she's doing so wonderful now. And, you know, everyone loves her. It's just like, it's just amazing what God can do, because God is good. But you have to get, I feel like, even though they say 40,
you have to go
earlier. Like I went last year, right? Cause I was like, okay.
And you're not 40
no.
yet.
No. And I was like, I found a lump in my breast probably when I was probably like your age.
Okay.
Right. There was a lump in my breast. I got a biopsy. It said that it was benign, and they were like, do you want to remove it? And I was like, nope. And you know, it is my little crazy belief, but I just don't feel like you should remove anything in your body there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
right? Like I'm like, I feel like once you disrupt whatever, then something else is gonna happen, right? I may be completely wrong, but that's just how I feel. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I felt. They're like, you want to remove it? I was like, mm-mm, nope. Yeah. I was like, we'll just keep checking it. If there's any issue, then whatever.
So how did you find it? Were you checking, period, or you just went?
My gynecologist.
Your gynecologist found it?
Yeah, you know, because I would go for my annual checkup. And he was like, I feel a lump in your breast. And I'm like, okay. And yeah, and I'm a person where reality doesn't hit me till like reality's like in my face, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not even thinking anything. I'm like, okay. All right, let's just go to, you know, and get the biopsy. And they were like, came back benign. And I was just like, okay. And that was it. You know, you want to remove it? Nope. No, thank you. And, you know, I kept it moving. And just last year, I was like, you know, since I said two of my girlfriends, one was 45 and one was 36, that was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, I've been with them, you know, through chemo there, seeing how hard it is, mm-hmm. them being sick, the medicines they have to take. I've been with them through all of it. And, you know, so you feel like you're experiencing it firsthand yourself. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go and just get a full thing. Like, I need a full.
Did you do that?
A full checkup. Oh, yeah.
That's so funny that you said that, because one of my old coworkers, her mother had breast cancer, and she survived, but because it was in her genetics, she did the same thing. She opted to get a full body scan, and insurance doesn't pay for that. And she was like, I don't care. I'm paying out of pocket. It's expensive, but I'm going to do it. And it came back that she didn't have it, but she also did the genetic testing, and she has the trait.
Mm. Yeah. My grandmother died from breast cancer. So, you know, so it's always in the back of my head, mm-hmm. like, oh my God, it's going to be, you know, my generation, you know, that's going to get it. And so I need to find out everything, what's going on with me. And you know, everything came back like, you're so healthy. You're so this is that, the other, and, you know, people have been calling me granola for years, mm-hmm. right? because I was one of the first people, you know, in my circle that stopped eating meat, that was eating, you know, certain healthy things. I was not eating farm raised fish. I was doing that like 10, 12 years ago when my friends were like, oh, well, you know, I stopped drinking alcohol, while my friends were just like, oh Lord, here comes Sanjay. We don't know what she's gonna eat. Let's bring out the leaves and the mm-hmm. and the granola, right? Making fun of me before it became such a trend now. Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone's like so cautious. And I feel like with breast cancer, and so people are getting it younger and younger, it has to be in our food, you know? And you have to be careful about your deodorant. And you have to be careful what you wash your clothes in. Mm-hmm. Because all of those things has these carcinogens that can affect your body.
Yeah.
And I'm so like, Tom's, I'm like, you know, with the toothpaste, with my mouthwash, with my deodorant, I mean, all of that stuff. Like, I don't play that, because it is so scary, especially when you see your friend going through that, you know, with their curled up with their stomach, because chemo is making them so sick.
So with that being, we know that early detection is key, and you guys, you really need to be checking your breasts once a month. They say like right after the shower, just lift your arm and you press in a circular motion. You start from the nipple and you go outward and you check for anything that would feel abnormal. And I know I used to always say, how do you, like, what do you feel? Like, I know I have a bunch of different little things in there, yeah, but they're like, no, you know. You feel something, you're like, this does not belong in my body.
And sometimes, because I'm always like, I'm such a hypochondriac now, because my freaking breasts, you know, are so sensitive. And some people have lumpier breasts than others, mm-hmm. right? So you just kind of don't know. And some people are fibroistic, you know, I suffer from fibroids, but some people have, you know, fibroistic stuff within their mm-hmm. breasts and cysts and so forth. So you really just have to be on top of it. And I know it's super scary. Like, I know that people would rather be in denial mm-hmm. than know. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like, I was stupid and young at the time. Like, I just want to drop dead. Like, I just want to live my, I just want to live my life. And then if something goes wrong, let me just drop dead.
Yeah, nah.
it is scary when you have to deal with all of the stuff. And I said, having two friends and holding their hands and, you know, wiping their tears away, and being there and being scared for them and loving them so much through it, you know, you have to fight. You have to fight. And I said, those statistics that are coming out, you have to understand, those statistics are from a long time ago. Medicine is changing every single day. And people are living with breast cancer or whatever, or being, you know, surviving more and more because our medicine has become so advanced.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I said, I look at, you know, I was talking to my mom before I got here, and I was like, you know, my partners, they're like 32, 33. And I was like, you know, they probably haven't
32,
had,
not 33.
32. 32 going on 33. No. And they haven't had to have a friend be diagnosed with breast cancer.
I haven't, but I've had friends lose their mothers.
Yes. But you'll see in like 2 or 3 years, unfortunately, you know,
yeah,
the odds of you knowing something. Cause I would never think, I'm thinking when I get to my 40s, I probably, you know, you've, no, like I'm in my 30s and late 30s, and this is what I'm dealing with. Like you never foresee that. And that's what's happening now. Like you'll see in about 3 years how certain ailments start happening to your friends just out of nowhere. And then you're going to have to deal with that because it's getting shorter and shorter when people, you know, earlier and earlier when people are getting, detecting these diseases. It's really, really awful. Scary.
It's really awful. Wow. That was, was hot and heavy.
Yeah, it was heavy.
That
but
made me
but
feel some type of way on my inside.
No,
parts.
No, it is hard and heavy. But we have to have these type of conversations, yeah, especially as African American women, because it is more aggressive in our body than our counterparts, you know. And mm-hmm. we die from it. I don't even know the statistics, but I know we die from it more than our white counterparts. So we have to be on top of it. Ovarian cancer, breast cancer, because my girlfriend had ovarian cancer first, and then she had in her 30s, and then she had breast cancer.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And diabetes. You know what I mean? So you have to take care of yourself. You have to watch what you eat. You have to work out. You have to do all those things because you don't know. You know, like you'd rather be safe than sorry. So guys, make sure you do all of that. And of course, TP, we are F cancer over here.
Yeah.
We are F cancer over here. And make sure you check out Shandia on our website at tpthemag.com. And we have something special coming up in November.
We do on November 19th. Yes. We're having another live podcast. Yes.
So if you want to attend, you have to subscribe because the first dibs of it is only going to be for our subscribers.
Yep.
So if you do not subscribe, then you will not know because we're going to send out a special email and those are the people who are going to be invited first. It's really great. We have a really hot guest.
We do.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Really hot guest.
Really hot guest. And it's going to be a dope event. So make sure you subscribe because those are the first people who are going to be invited. So whoever went to our launch, whoever subscribed, whoever our team TP,
yes,
that's who's going to get first dibs on this event because we only have a limited amount of space.
It's a limited amount of space. And once it's gone, it's gone. And trust me, you want to be there. It's going to be really, really good. So make sure you subscribe to find out who, when, where, all the deets. And it's going to be an excellent, excellent, excellent event.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll check you out next time. Peace out.
Good afternoon. P. Chris, take us out.
Now I'm out here looking like revenge, feeling like a 10, the best I ever been. And yeah, I know how bad it must hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now you're out here looking like regret, ain't too proud to beg, second chance you'll never get. And yeah, I know how bad it must hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now payback is bad chick, and baby, I'm the baddest. Stop playing with a savage, can't have this, can't have this. And it'd be nice of me to take it easy on ya, but nah.